So I got this segment that I do periodically. I'm looking through the news and I'm gathering things up and I'm saying to myself, self, because that's what I call myself when I talk to myself. I say, self, there's a lot of things happening around here in the backyard. Yes, there are. That means I got to do what I call cooking up a whole batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them up. Do you know I call myself self when I talk to myself?
I mean, it's logical, I guess.
Sometimes things come out of me. I don't know where they come from. That just happened. But anyway, yes, self, that's what I call myself when I talk to myself. Okay, so 1819 News got a story. This is all stuff. All these stories I'm about to run through with you, and I'll cover some with our buddy Scott Buttram when he gets here. But some of these stories are literally from the most recent days in the Alabama legislature, most recent things happening in Tennessee, in surrounding areas. And I got one right here that, you know what, I wish I had been tracking this when it was happening. But I didn't. This one kind of flew under my radar. So now I'm looking after the fact, and it's too late. But Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who is also believed to be one of the prime candidates for governor. Anyway, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, he lambasted some House lawmakers on Wednesday after the State House Government Committee voted down a bill that would have allowed public school students to participate in off-campus religious and character instruction during school hours. Okay, what's this bill about? Bottom line is, there was a bill in the Alabama legislature. One version in this House, one version in the Senate. They're called companion bills, and they travel in both directions and see which one gets done first. But these two companion bills did the same thing. They allowed for school systems to say, we're going to let our kids, we won't teach religion, but if the local, you know, say Catholic Church is teaching a class on, I don't know, Latin, I don't get, whatever, or Bible study, and they can make it accredited in such a way that we can say that's worthy, or maybe there's one in this case for just literally like character building, that they will allow that to be an elective class, and the kids can leave campus for that class and get credit for it as long as there are some safeguards put in place and there's some, you know, documentation and some prior accreditation. What I did not know was this is being done by 12 other states right now. More than 12. More than a dozen other states, said Ainsworth. Said no taxpayer dollars would have been used in this. Identical electives are being offered in more than a dozen other states serving thousands of students. And legislators allowed paid lobbyists to influence their committee votes on such a simple common sense bill, they ought to be ashamed. That's his version. He said, whether it be Bible instruction that hones their faith or matters that build their character, he said, I'm going to make sure this legislation is reintroduced again and again and again until the students are given this elective option. That's a wow. And that bill, by the way, that was Republicans and Democrats that killed it. And that happened in committee. It didn't even get to the floor. So it was a 5-5 vote, and so State Representative Chris Sells declared it a failed vote to come out of committee. He's a Republican from Greenville. And then Mike Kirkland, Republican from Scottsboro, Marilyn Land, she's a nut, Democrat from Huntsville, Russell Bedsole, a Republican from Alabaster, and Marcus Paramore, Republican from Troy, all voted no. So there's your no votes, one Democrat, four Republicans. The bill failed. That's something. And by the way, it had good sponsors. It wasn't like this is, and I hate to say it this way, but there are times when the right sponsor can mean all the world to getting a bill through. Because you got to have somebody who has some moxie. You got to have somebody that's got the ability to, enunciate and get their story across. Well, they had two conservative rock stars, two warriors in there, State Senator Shea Shelnut and Representative Susan DeBose. Both of them made a name for themselves being extremely conservative and good at what they do. And it failed. Let's turn our eyes to the north, shall we? I am thankful that we are watching right now as the illegal immigration issue is being dealt with on a daily basis. Daily basis. So right now, Tennessee Republican leaders are basically saying, good on you. So Tennessee passed a thing in their state legislature just like a month ago, I believe. Signed into law by the governor, Bill Lee. It's called the Centralized Immigration Enforcement Bureau, which basically is a state-level bureau that's currently staffed with 6 or 7 people, and they get grants from local law enforcement and all that to hire officers and then to work with the federal government. And in conjunction with the new Centralized Immigration Enforcement Bureau, get this. This is cool. You had U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, arrest 84 people in the Nashville area that were illegal aliens in one day. 84 in one day. You know how they did it? They did traffic stops. They literally just checked IDs and things like that. Traffic stops. They only did 150 traffic stops. They got 84 arrests. What does that tell you? Either A, they knew where they were.
Yeah.
Or B, there's just a whole lot of them driving.
Yeah. And if they knew where they were, then they obviously have known for a while and not able to do something until now.
Yeah, maybe there are certain roads. I guess, I don't know. But according to ICE, where's my spot here? Here it is. According to ICE, the arrested 84 included one alleged member of Tren de Aragua, one person convicted for drug possession, with a prior conviction for drug possession, one individual with a prior conviction of felony domestic assault and you know, illicit acts with a minor, and one who is alleged having a conviction of reckless aggravated assault. So they had some violent criminals, sex traffickers, drug users, and Tren de Aragua members in the mix. 84 arrests out of 150 stops. Republicans in Tennessee are going, yeah, we love it. But of course, Democrats are calling this ethnically and racially profiling. Well, of course they are. Don't we know? That's how this goes. We got to take a break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right. So I got a couple of text messages and I got a special guest I'll introduce. So John T. from Alabama says, oh no, profiling to find certain people. Imagine that. Yeah. John T. Thank you very much. Jeremy from Madison says, please invite to your show one of the representatives that shot down the school Bible class bill so they can tell us why they made this move. Fair enough. I may just do it. Brian from Decatur says, not sure who else would agree with me, but the primary reason I vote Republican is because their only other option is Democrat. Alabama State, as you know, has a supermajority Republican, but still seem to slow walk some most legislation. Yeah, not all, but I will say this. We'll talk about it here with my guest in a moment, but there are things that could have been done that weren't, that's for sure. There are things that were done that shouldn't have, that's for sure. So you look at it, and I got thoughts and opinions. Before I poison the well, let me just go ahead and bring in somebody who goes by the moniker of the Secretary of Common Sense on Twitter. My friend Scott Buttram, a publisher of the Trustful Tribune. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Excited to be here with you. Usually, if I'm here, you're not. So
I know.
This is a nice change.
In fact, what's funny is, but you say that, you guest hosted for me, and you and I knew each other by phone before I ever met you.
That's right. That's right.
You had even guest hosted my show before I shook your hand.
We had already become each other. There's Amen Corner on social media.
Yes,
you know, everything you posted, I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
And so, you doing good?
Yeah, doing good. It was a busy day at the Tribune. Okay. Thursdays are the days we do Tribune Unscripted. That's our live streaming show every week. Award-winning live streaming show. My host gets mad when I don't mention that. But yeah, the Tribune Unscripted has actually been named the number one digital media show by the Alabama Press Association for 6 out of the last 7 years.
This I did not know.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the one time we did not win first place, Tribune Sports Live, our sports live streaming show, knocked us out of first place 1 year. But yeah, they usually come in second.
Well, as long as it's staying in-house,
that's all right. It's kind of hard to live with those guys when they beat you. So I'm glad we put that in the rearview mirror.
Well, man, I'm glad to have you in studio today. That's fun.
I'm happy to be here. We hadn't had a chance to visit in a while. The session is wrapping up. They of course, always have that last day on hold, but man, this has just been an uninspiring session, to say the least.
Let me ask you. Yeah, I get the feeling that this will be the forgotten session. This will be the one that people go, did they meet in 25? I mean, that's the way it feels to me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, our legislators better hope the voters forget, because I don't think – listen, and Phil, you sat in that seat in Montgomery. You know how it is. Our voters in Alabama are conservative. They care about what's going on in politics.
Yeah.
But they've got a really bad habit of not paying attention to what the people they vote for actually go and do in session. We're all guilty of it. I went through a period of my life where I didn't watch it that closely. I would say to voters, especially conservative voters, that went out, go to the polls, pick your candidate based on what they have told you they are, who they are, what they stand for. I would encourage everybody to start paying a lot more attention
because
there's a shift going on right now, in my opinion.
I think there is, and we got about 20 seconds here, so I won't get much of this out. But I also theorize, in my opinion, that they've become a lazy supermajority because they're not being challenged to be who they say they are in their campaign ads.
You nailed it.
The Democrats are nothing burgers right now.
You nailed it.
The Democrats are there to occasionally filibuster and slow things down,
right,
and then pass a bad bill in Birmingham. But for the most part, the Republicans can do what they want to do, which means anything that did or didn't happen is purely on them.
Right. It's all on them.
All right. Music's playing. Preacher got to stop preaching. We'll come right back. I'm going into Home Fries for a little while with my buddy Scott Buttram, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two on a thankful Thursday. Hey, I don't know if Scott Buttram's heard our thankful Thursday sound effect. What are we doing?
I don't think he has.
Let's do an encore of thankful Thursday. Hit it.
You got to be more thankful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
We thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell.
Have you said thank you once?
Thank you!
Thankful Thursday.
I think I heard an Elvis slid in there somewhere.
Oh,
did I hear?
That was some good stuff.
Okay, so you got my attention. Anytime you bring Elvis into the room, you got my attention.
And two of those thankful things came from the debacle where Zelensky was in the Oval Office.
Yeah,
and they were looking at him going, have you even said thank you once yet?
That rivals hump day.
Oh, wow. That's
that rivals hump day.
Hey, let me real quick get a text message because it's one I don't want to let get too far down the road without reading it. JR from Rogersville. JR from Rogersville says, Colonel Williams, I listened to you today when you spoke about the young NCO who was injured building the infamous pier in Gaza and later died from those injuries. Mm. It's a heartfelt story. It took me back to my time in Southeast Asia in 1970-71. Have often been told that the U.S. lost that war, but I beg to differ. From what I saw and heard while we were there, the U.S. was not allowed to win that war. All the lives lost for what? Well, so first of all, JR, thank you for your service and welcome home. And then I will just tell you right now, I heard it said once before that, I've said this multiple times, the men in the boots did not lose the war. It was the men in the suits that did that. The men in the boots won every fight they were in.
That's right.
Let me jump in here. So I'm cooking up. I gotta every once in a while gather up stories that are more local, stories that are right in our own backyard. We like to call it cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh yeah, want to cook them up? Cook them up. Smell them. All right, Scotticus, you told me during the break that you disagree with me on some things.
Here we go. Here we go.
I don't usually allow that in my studio. So let's talk about a couple things. So one of the things that I get a sense of is this legislative session we just had in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Me being a former state senator, I see it. I get it. I know sometimes there's high-profile things. Most folks don't even know the 50% of what happens. I get that. But this felt like a nothing burger session.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think this session could become known for is what they chose not to do.
You're right.
One of the things they chose not to do was to give people a continued tax break on overtime pay.
Yeah.
And I am not enamored of that decision. I really think they blew it. But you got a few thoughts that I hadn't really considered before. So what is that?
Well, first of all, let me say, you're not going to hear me oppose any tax cut. I'm in favor of all of them.
I know who you are.
Yeah. So
you're the Secretary of Common Sense.
That's right. I'm in favor of tax cuts as a blanket statement. As tax cuts go, I wasn't crazy about this from the beginning for two reasons.
All right.
One is it affects a very small group of people when you get down to it.
Okay.
And I would prefer to see a tax cut for all working Alabamians.
I get that.
That's right. And I've got a little side concern as well, but it's not primary. So the other major concern I had with this bill is almost out of the gate, we realized that the legislature did not have good background information. They didn't have good numbers.
Maybe when they passed it.
Right. They did not have good numbers on what this would actually cost, how big the cut would be. You and I were talking about during the break. They were basically off by about 90% from their estimate.
A lot of people took advantage of it. They really did.
Yeah, they were told, well, it's going to be around $30-something million. It was over $300 million. Why would a legislature vote on anything that they don't fully understand and have full background and information on?
I get that,
and I'm seeing that a lot out of this current legislature.
Here's a couple of questions I have on that, though. Is it because it actually sparked people to become more productive and desire more work? I mean, did it? Because I had Representative Anthony Daniels, the Democrat minority leader,
right,
who actually sponsored the bill, and more than one person texted
which should have raised your first red flag. Well, it came from a Democrat.
All right. But he came on the show, did an amazing job. Yeah. I like Anthony Daniels. I served with him when I was down there. And as a Democrat goes, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
But I had people even texting in saying, are you sure he's a Democrat? Because he was talking about, you know, putting things back in the hands of the people and the working man and, you know, driving people to work and productivity and the glory of work and all. Anyway.
And we know he doesn't believe any of that.
But okay. But this time he did. But that being said, he said he had multiple companies that contacted him and said, I was able to hire more people because they're very interested in the fact that we need overtime and they wanted more work. And some companies told him, we got more contracts because my people were more productive. I could sustain the load. And I was able to put shifts on and that kind of thing. So I just wonder about it. But here's the other piece, the one that really gets me the most, though. First of all, they gave a tax break, then they took it away.
That's right.
But they took it away in a year in which they had a budget surplus.
Yes.
Which means they had a lot of extra money, but they were still freaking out about giving the money back. And that bothers me.
No matter where you or I stand on this bill, the perception is the perception.
Okay.
And this ain't going to be a good one to go back home with.
It's still a turd sandwich. And they ask people to eat
it. And you got to go back home, and these legislators got to go back home, and they got to face the voters, the ones that paid attention and know what's going on.
Yeah.
From that perspective, I don't think this shines a good light on our supermajority Republican legislature.
Yes, I agree.
And getting back to the overtime issue, again, it just wasn't my favorite bill, my favorite tax cut. You can also easily manipulate a bill like that or a system like that by moving more to overtime where it doesn't get taxed.
Yeah.
We trust employers to turn in correct timesheets. There's a lot of games you could play there.
I see that.
And that's a concern to me. The biggest thing is the vast majority of workers in Alabama get no overtime, so it would never benefit them, never help them. That's my overriding concern.
Do you think it's going to come back to haunt anybody who chose to let it lapse and hope nobody would look?
It's
legislators, I mean.
There's always that risk. You know, it almost takes – and you were there for the biggest upheaval in Alabama political history.
I helped cause the upheaval.
I'm telling you. I mean, and you know, it took 146 years – this state was not run well for the 146 years that Democrats were in control.
Yeah.
It still took 146 years.
Yep.
So upheavals don't come easily. They don't come naturally. They have to be worked. It's very easy to say, I want the guy in office, but you've got to have a viable candidate running against him.
That's true.
And so a lot of things have to come together. Right, with money. I don't know that we're there at this moment, but I think we may be shifting to it. I told Jeff Bohr recently – and Jeff asks all the time, when is that next upheaval coming? When is it coming? Hmm. We talk about that a lot. I'm not sure the upheaval I am sure it will never be as a result of the Democrats making a comeback. Hmm. They are gone for our lifetime. They will be insignificant and irrelevant for as long as I'm drawing a breath on this earth.
In the state of Alabama. Right.
I'm confident of that. I will also say I think the national Democrats are on the same exact path as Alabama Democrats.
Their trajectory is pretty awful right now.
They're right on the path of Alabama, so it's going to be pretty wild to watch that. But I do think we will see a Freedom Caucus, a more conservative caucus, rise up within the Republican Party in Alabama very much what was going on with the Democrats when y'all knocked them out of Montgomery. They were very divided among liberal and conservative Democrats.
That's true.
You guys just came in at the right time with the right plan.
I'm
telling
like
you.
It,
yeah, you should be hitting the horn because y'all flat ran them over. Nobody saw it coming except a handful of you guys that kept saying, it's coming, it's coming.
You know what's funny is when we took – I mean, we became – and what a lot of people don't realize is when you get elected to the Alabama legislature, you take office the night of the election.
Right.
Like I'm not sure I even knew that until about a week before the election. I thought, my gosh, if I win, I'm an instant senator. Poof, that night.
That night, and, boom.
Which meant that
I think y'all voted on an ethics bill the next day, didn't you?
Well, we came in about a week later. I didn't know where the bathrooms were in the state house.
It was bang, bang.
And then tell the caller we're in the middle of something. We'll have to get called a bit later. But the other piece of that is. I actually beat one who was considered to be a conservative Democrat.
Right.
And it didn't help him.
No.
So it was a freight train. But I do believe in terms of the next upheaval, here's a thought on that. I mean, as long as we're chasing this rabbit, I think the next upheaval could be caused by having what I would consider to be a Trump-like figure to rally around in our state politics. If we get, like for instance, if we get, and I said it the other day, I had a monologue I did. I called it, if we get a God-fearing gunslinger to come in as a governor, whether it be Tuberville or somebody else, if we get somebody who sparks the imagination and fires up the base, then the legislature better watch out because that person will be able to drive the train with their bully pulpit. Right now, ain't nobody standing in the pulpit with Kay Ivey.
No.
At all.
And no matter who our next governor is, they will have a potential 8 years to serve.
That's right.
And right the ship in their way.
And if they come in there, like I said, like a God-fearing gunslinger, yep. Ain't no telling what they could do. And I think that would be the thing that might galvanize the Republican Party in the legislative action.
I think
you're
right.
To be more of what they say they are.
I think you're right. And it could trigger it. And Jeff and I, you, and we all talk, and just so the audience knows, you and I, Jeff Poor, some others have ongoing conversations.
Yeah.
I'm gripes.
And gripes.
we you know, pick at each other and go back and forth, but we're able to vet out a lot of information and get different ideas by doing that. I'm an Ainsworth fan. I literally watched this guy grow during his two terms
as lieutenant
governor. He really is. First time I interviewed him, I thought this is the most clueless person I've ever seen run for state office. I just didn't feel like he had very good grasp of issues. 4 years later, he sat down. We did another interview. I called a mutual friend of his and ours and said, I've never seen anybody grow in 4 years the way I've seen Will Ainsworth grow.
How about that?
He's gone from just trying to figure out what he's doing to top shelf, in my opinion. And I think he had a plan. So
I think that's fair to say. And I think he also has stuck with the plan.
Yeah.
And I've known Will since he was in high school.
Yeah.
I used to be in youth ministry full time and he was one of the kids I knew back then.
How about that?
Yeah. So
but I do think
Tuberville. No, I don't have any stories that I can use to hurt him.
No, he's genuinely a good guy.
There was that one time with the toilet paper. That was really bad. hey, we got to take a break, dude.
Yeah.
We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. Phil Williams in studio with the Secretary of Common Sense, Scott Buttram. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're in the studio right now with the Secretary of Common Sense, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, Scotticus Buttram. And we got a caller on the line, Scott, so we're going to go ahead and take a call real quick.
He probably heard what I said about the overtime tax.
He may be calling to either agree and or disagree. I don't know yet. We're going to find out. Mark from Athens, are you there? Mark from Athens, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Senator Williams, and Secretary, I'm glad to have you on the phone, too, because I need some clarification.
All right, what you got?
On the exemption from overtime tax, yes, the state had the process where you were exempt from overtime, but let me ask you this. at the end of the year when you file your state income tax, does that overtime income actually go in to your total income? Therefore, you are going to pay the tax on that overtime income. Your tax bracket will be identified with that income level, not the exemption. So you get the exemption, but then you have to pay it back at the end of the year with your state tax.
Mm. Okay, so you're basically, let me make sure I'm clear. So you're, and by the way, I am not a CPA. I did not sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I'll do the best I can.
That's interesting.
But what you're asking is, if somebody works more and makes more, even though they might have been exempt on one portion, would they then possibly be bumped into another bracket? And I think the answer would probably be yes.
Well, I had not thought about it this way, but yeah, the way it's set up right now, whoever writes paychecks would just simply not cut state taxes on your overtime hours.
Right.
But when you turn in your tax return at the end of the year, how does the state of Alabama know that was overtime or not? Wouldn't they look at the total earnings?
Well, it's a good question.
That's a great question.
Mark, are you an overtime guy? I mean, was this impacting you or just?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, first of all, was it helpful to you to have it?
It was, but at the end of the year, when I filed my state income tax, I had to owe, where I usually come out zero even, way I work my taxes, but because I work on an average of 8 to 10 hours of overtime every week.
Wow. Okay.
So, it actually took me into my overtime income, even though I was not getting taxed on my paycheck every time I got a paycheck on the overtime. At the end of the year, I was taxed on that income exactly as amount of money as I would have been if I had not got that exemption. So I didn't really get an exemption of my taxes on overtime. I just got it on the paycheck at the here and now. But at the end of the year, I had to pay it. Anyway.
Yeah, I hear you. And I tell you, this is not meant to be a callous statement at all. Don't take it that way. I think that's going to be unique to the person. In your case, that may have bumped you into another bracket, or you wind up having to pay more later that you didn't expect. But not everybody would be in that, because there might be just part-time people who work far fewer hours or something like that, that they got overtime and it didn't impact their overall. And we got about a minute and a half here, brother.
All right. I was going to say, the way I configure my tax paying is I set it up where I know what I'm going to have, and I say, okay, then I can make it to where I end up not owing taxes at the end of the year and not getting a giant refund either, where I'm almost dead even, or it's just very, a single digit dollar amount either way.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother, I wish everybody thought their taxes were like you do.
Yeah.
When I figured it up with that tax exemption, I thought I would not be owing anything, but then because of the way it was worked at the end, I ended up owing hundreds of dollars in taxes on my income.
I wish I only owed hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I'm just kind of floored that this is the first time I've heard this. This is a very common sense thing, no pun intended.
It is.
This makes sense to me.
Common sense.
Yeah, well, you just improved my level tremendously. I didn't think of this more. That's a really, really good thought.
Mark, we got to leave it there, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. We got about 20 seconds before we head to the break. And by the way, keep in mind, folks, when we come back from this one, it's not going to be just usual conversation here. It's going to be the dynamic insertion of Buttram into Butters and Lee. We'll call it Buttram and Lee this time.
There we go.
That is interesting. I don't think I'd thought about.
Never crossed my mind.
But I guess it's also, it's going to be the individual. It's not going to be across the board. Just because you worked overtime doesn't mean you're automatically in a higher tax bracket, but it's possible that it could happen.
Right, but I don't know that even moving you to a different bracket would make as much difference if it wasn't cut out of your paycheck, but you're still got to turn in a return on your total earnings.
I don't know.
Then it's there. I don't know how the state would know, well, we're not supposed to tax him on this $5,000. It was all overtime money.
There's a reason why I'm not an accountant.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But there's that. All right, coming up next, our female Boudreaux from up yonder in Huntsville way, Lee from Huntsville, calling in to join us for a round of what today we're calling Buttram and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.